Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
One more deep breath in and out. Yesterday, when Senator Bernie Sanders suspended his campaign for the presidency, it meant that former Vice President Joe Biden had a clear path to the Democratic nomination. It was not long ago that pundits speculated that Biden's campaign was on the ropes after Iowa and New Hampshire. But as many noted, that was before any states with large black populations voted. Biden has a lot of support among especially older African Americans. The Democratic Party relies on the black vote. But the question is often, does it take it for granted? It's one of the many questions our next guest tackles in her book, Prejudicial, Black America and the Presidents. It's by New York-based writer and activist Margaret Kimberly, who's been an editor and senior columnist for Black Agenda Report since 2006. Her work focuses on peace and justice issues. Her new book offers a very different take on presidential history than what has been previously written. For one, she argues that every president in U.S. history, no matter what party affiliation, perpetuated racist policies designed to curb the creation of a truly equal and just society. The book also dissects the narratives that have been built around our presidents and looks at what has been omitted in the process. Margaret Kimberly joins us now. Margaret, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So when you sat down to write this book or thought about this book, what did you see as your goal?
Well, I've always felt that history in this country is not taught very well. There are certain people whose stories are left out, or there are outright lies. And both of those things are true whenever you talk about the history of black people in this country. That also means that powerful people, such as the president, get a pass. And many of their actions are hidden from us unless you really know the history for yourself and are determined to find out more on your own. So that was my goal in writing the book, was to provide that history, to fill in those blank spaces so that people can have a better understanding of the country, of the past, and of our present as well.
The format of the book is there are timelines in each section that give you a sense of what was happening during that historical period. Why did you want to include those timelines?
Well, I felt it gave context to each story. The book is 45 chapters, 45 essays, one for each president. And we see that there are certain points in history where there were certain dynamics taking place, such as obviously the years before the Civil War, Reconstruction, the later 20th century, and so on. So I think it really helps to have broken it up in that way and give readers a greater understanding of what they were about to learn about each administration.
Your first section is about the Founding Fathers, and you talk about this legend that George Washington's teeth were wooden. We know they weren't. They were actually the teeth of enslaved people. So what does that story represent to you regarding the narratives told around the Founding Fathers?
Well, it's important for us to be honest about the foundations of the country. Of the first 12 presidents, 10 of them were slaveholding. George and his wife, Martha, actually Martha Washington owned far more people than her husband. She owned over 200. He owned about 50. And it's important to know that that is a fact. And it is important to know about the cruelty of slavery. It wasn't some unpleasant thing. It was maintained by violence. And so there were some of the people that Washington owned who had their teeth extracted, and they were transplanted to him. And tooth extraction, even today, is pretty brutal, even with painkillers and modern medicine. I can't imagine what it was like in the 1700s and to have your teeth taken out so they could be given to someone else. But it's important to know the horror of slavery, the fact that it is the foundation of our country. Anti-black racism is foundational. The fact that the U.S. is a settler colonial state impacted the very beginning and still impacts us now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to tell stories like this, which people may find distressing or unpleasant, But life was more than distressing and unpleasant for the people who lived under chattel slavery until 1865.
Let's talk about John Adams and John Quincy Adams. You write about John Adams. He bragged that he never had a slave. How did his actions compare to his words?
Well, it's true he was not a slaveholder, although I have to also add that in Massachusetts at that time, there was slavery allowed in the North. It was legal until the early, depending on the state, 1820s, 1830s, so he could have been. But while he bragged about not having been a slaveholder, he was quite racist. He was very fearful of the free black population. He was one of those who advocated for colonization, that is, sending black people out of the country, and he said so many times. He, while he said he and bragged about not being a slaveholder himself, he gave a pass to those who were. He said that the Southerners can't be blamed and they are going to have a gradual end of slavery, none of which was true, by the way. And so it's important to know these things about him because he's one of those who is held up as being one of the quote-unquote good presidents. And he may have been in some ways, but as far as black people are concerned, he was not.
You know, that anytime you bring up this issue, our Twitter lights up. I'm sure your Twitter lights up. I've actually interviewed historians and talked to them about this, challenged them on the way they've written about presidents. And people get very upset. Why do you think this upsets people so much?
Well, I think most people want to feel a connection with the larger society. They want to, most of us feel a strong connection with a group, with the nation, with its history, with our ethnic or racial group. And people want to feel positive. So this is very hard for Americans because we are generally told positive things about the country. It's a great country. There were, you know, these people who did terrible things to other human beings. We've been told our whole lives that they were brilliant, that they wrote the Declaration of Independence, or they did something that can be considered worthy. And it's hard for people to disassociate themselves from these people that they've admired their whole lives when you tell them something truthful. But I think it's time for Americans to, frankly, to grow up about this. The fact that we, and also I think we have to acknowledge we're propagandized. Americans don't like to think of themselves that way. But the fact that you see their face on the money, that the Capitol is named after the first president, states named after them, schools named after them, we're told all these positive things. So it's hard for, it's always hard to hear information that's new to you, especially if it's something negative about something you're positive about. But it's time to get over it, time to grow up. Americans love to tell other people about their history. We're always asked if the Germans have sufficiently apologized for the Holocaust. Do the Japanese tell the truth about sex slavery during World War II? Well, if we can ask those questions about other people, we can ask it about this country as well.
My guest is author Margaret Kimberly. The name of her book is Prejudicial: Black America and the Presidents. And as I was reading through the book, I thought about this, that, you know, more presidents come from the state of Virginia than any other state. So it would make sense that if you're from Virginia that you had a strong pro-slavery stance, and Virginia was a place of the wealthy, hence the plantations, self-enslaved people. So it really shouldn't be surprising in and of itself because of Virginia's history, capital of the Confederacy, you can go on and on. So what should we do with this information? What do you think we need to do with this information about our presidents?
We have to learn it, and we have to pass it on. And I guess those people who do feel the need to talk about the discomfort that they feel should talk about it. But there are those of us who are beyond that discomfort, and we should not silence ourselves. You know, it's funny, in 2017, when Trump was first elected, and there was this, I'm going to call it a riot in Charlottesville, Virginia, white supremacists versus those who bravely opposed them and wanted mm-hmm. people to know that they should not be given free rein. And one person was tragically killed. And yeah. so there was a discussion about monuments, about the Confederate monuments. And Trump said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to take down Washington and Jefferson's monuments? And the New York Times polled its readers, and only 4 or 5% wanted to take down monuments of Washington and Jefferson. Now, these are New York Times readers. They're not, or don't think themselves white supremacists at any rate. But so for such a large percentage of the country to have, to be so committed to standing up for this horrible ugliness is very disturbing. But if Americans are as great as they always claim to be, it's something that has to begin now. So you have to talk about people being slaveholders. You have to take down the monuments. And that is what a mature country ought to do. But we're talking, but when you talk about the past, it means you're talking about the present.
Right.
So if you acknowledge, and this is what people are uncomfortable about, if you acknowledge all this horror that took place before, you have to talk about some of the horrors taking place now. And I think that's what's very difficult.
In reading your book, also, I got the sense that hypocrisy is something that you truly want to call out. So of all the presidents, who did you think was has been the most hypocritical about maybe their public face towards Black Americans versus or the myth of the legends around them and Black Americans and the reality?
Well, Jefferson comes to mind. He was a large slaveholder himself. He always claimed he thought slavery was wrong, and you know, but he never never gave up any of the people, never freed anybody in his lifetime. Lincoln said, if slavery isn't wrong, nothing is wrong. But he was not anti-slavery. He wanted to keep the Union together, and he famously said if he could do that by ending or continuing slavery, he would do whichever one kept the Union. But thanks to the enslaved people who started to free themselves, every time Union soldiers approached, they would run to Union lines, run to safety, not always safety, but in any case, they were running away from slavery. Was forced, little by little, he was forced to say that this was a war against slavery. However, he never gave up the goal of colonization. He, as late as a week before he was assassinated, proposed getting Black people out of the country. So that's a great hypocrisy. And then there are those in the modern era, FDR. He was beloved, is beloved by people of that generation, but at that time, the Democratic Party was the party of the segregated South. And he always made excuses for not doing more, saying he couldn't afford to alienate Southerners in Congress. But so he never passed anti-lynching legislation, which people fought for many, many decades. And then we come to, you know, people like Bill Clinton, who, because he was a Democrat, and at that time things had switched, and the Democrats were the preferred party of Black people. And Clinton was, I think it's accurate to say, he was loved. But he showed his true colors during the campaign. He left the campaign trail to execute a mentally disabled Black man, the Sister Souljah moment of embarrassing Jesse Jackson, holding a photo op with Black men in prison garbs, proving his anti-crime credentials, the welfare so-called reform, which plunged already poor people deeper into poverty, the crack cocaine laws, which really ramped up during his presidency that put so many thousands of Black people in jail. I think he is, of the modern presidents, the most hypocritical.
Who was the least hypocritical of all the presidents, the clearest in how he felt about Black people? Good or bad?
Somebody really horrible like Andrew Jackson. You know, he was a slaveholder. He practiced ethnic cleansing in the Southeast. This is genocide that we're talking about, pushing the native population out of that part of the country to accelerate the plantation economy. So, but he was honest about it. He never claimed to say that slavery was wrong. So you can say he was, as awful as he was, not a hypocrite. Of the modern presidents, I'd say one of the worst is Ronald Reagan. He was, and Trump is not, by the way, the first president to use racism as a tool of getting votes. So Reagan talked about the welfare queen and a strapping young buck using food stamps. He talked about states' rights in Mississippi, no less. So he was quite clear about using racism as a means of getting votes.
The name of the book is Prejudicial, Black Americans and the Presidents. It's by Margaret Kimberly. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.